Thank you. First and foremost, I'll have to thank the organizers for their kind invitation for me to come to this symposium. This is my first time of, well, second time of passing through Salt Lake City, but this is my first time of being in Provo, so I'm very grateful for the opportunity. When I was invited, I was not sure what I should talk about. So I came up with this topic: religion, democracy, and civil society. The case of witches in Ghana. It sounds very exotic, but I'm sure those of you who have worked in Africa, it will seem something normal to you. It's going to be a very short presentation because later on, from a very selfish point of view, I want to tap on your brains and experiences in offering solutions to this particular phenomenon that has been a bane of our society for some time. It is generally recognized that in African societies, religion and politics blend easily. This is particularly evident in Ghana, where traditional leaders of the various ethnic groups closely intertwine with religion. In fact, colleagues from Ghana at previous symposia here have looked at the impact of religion on the democratic process in our country. They have also looked at the role of religion in lawmaking, and the general conclusion is that religion plays a very significant part in our democracy. However, the constitution, which was put in place in 1992, espouses secularity of the state in that all persons have the right to freedom to practice any religion and to manifest such practices. Consequently, there are a myriad of religions and beliefs prevailing in the country. Approximately, it is said that 69% of the population of Ghana is Christian, 16% Muslim, 8% adheres to indigenous religious beliefs, and 7% identifies as belonging to other religious groups, including those who profess no religion at all. Other religious groups include those adhering to the Baha'i faith, Buddhism, Judaism, Hinduism, Shintoism, Ekanka, and Rastafarians. As part of this diversity of religious beliefs, in many of the areas in Ghana, there is a strong belief in witchcraft. When a calamity befalls an individual or a community, the question that readily comes to mind is not what caused it, but rather who caused it. Scapegoats are looked for. Women, particularly the aged and the infirm, and children, are readily accused of being witches responsible for said calamities. Those suspected of being witches, as I said, usually old women, have been beaten or lynched and banished to what has become known as witch camps, which are small villages, particularly in the north of the country, primarily populated by suspected witches. Ironically, the belief in witchcraft is actively encouraged by many of the pastors who preach in the nation's many charismatic churches by their fixation on what I call the prophecy as a panacea for all the emotional, financial, and spiritual challenges that confront their congregations. My aim in presenting this paper is to highlight the plight of these unfortunate women and the measures that can be taken to safeguard their fundamental human rights. I pose the very interesting question: who is a witch? ideas of witchcraft permeate Ghanaian society and are inextricably woven into the social fabric of Ghanaians. Belief in the power of sorcery, or what is locally called juju, are deeply embedded into the Ghanaian psyche. True stories and myths, frequent newspaper reports of accusations and confession by witches. This can also be seen from lyrics of songs, films, plays, fear-mongering, commercials, and sermons from these charismatic religious bodies, who, for most part, emphasizes their powers of casting out demons and delivering afflicted persons from the clutches of the devil. The yardstick for determining who is a witch is fluid and is not based on any objective criterion. Instead, it is a subjective determination. The general mode takes the following course: an unexpected death of a child in the family. A soothsayer is consulted. An old woman in the family is pointed out as the culprit. After the accusation, the woman is, quote and unquote, tried. This trial consists of cutting the head of a chicken. The chicken is thrown up, and if it lands face down on its side, the woman is guilty. If it falls on the back, the woman is innocent. If guilty, she finds refuge in the witch's camp, and the prospect of ever being integrated back into her community becomes remote. Sometimes she will not be that lucky, for increasingly mob justice is visited on her, culminating in her death. At some of these camps, the women are forced to worship the shrine of the tutelar deity, which is believed to protect the camp. The plight of these witches, so-called witches, have been recognized at the highest echelon of government. A recent conference to find a solution to the problem, the Deputy Minister of Women and Children Affairs was reported to have said, "The labeling of some of our kinsmen and women as witches and wizards and banishing them into camps where they live in inhuman and deplorable condition is a violation of their fundamental human rights. It is therefore patently clear that the problem exists. The question agitating the mind of observers is, why is it that nothing is being done to uphold the rights of these women whose lives are ruined by these unfounded and spurious allegations?" Let me put this in context by taking a brief look at the human rights provision under our Constitution. The 1992 Ghana Constitution guarantees religious freedom. There is no government body that regulates religious affairs. All religious bodies are independent institutions. However, religious institutions must register with the Office of the Registrar General within the Ministry of Justice and Attorney General's office to receive formal governmental recognition. The registration requirement for religious bodies at the Office of the Registrar General is the same as for non-governmental organizations. Formally registered religious groups are exempt from paying taxes on ecclesiastical, charitable, and educational activities that do not generate income. However, religious organizations are required to pay progressive taxes on pay-as-you-earn basis on business activities that generate income. The practice of accusing and banishing suspected witches violates various articles under the Chapter 5 of the 1992 Constitution of Ghana. Chapter 5 protects human rights and outlaws, for example, cultural practices which dehumanizes or are injurious to physical and mental well-being of a person. Thus, in 1998, in apparent pursuance of this article in the Constitution, Parliament enacted or amended the Criminal Code by which legislation was targeted against some cultural practices called trokosi, under which young girls were sent to religious shrines for a period up to 3 years to atone for crimes allegedly committed by their families. However, notwithstanding the exercise of the law, there does not seem to be any concerted effort on the part of the law enforcement agencies to enforce these provisions. If anything, there are signs that from eradicating the practice, the law has rather pushed them underground. Since the inception of the 1992 Constitution, Ghana has been touted as having embraced a culture of democracy, human rights, and the protection of rights of those who are less vulnerable in society. But what challenges face the enforcement of rights of witches? Past attempts at outlawing practices that are embodied in various ethnic groups in Ghana have not turned out very well. One of the most significant challenges is the enforcement of the law. This is because of the perception that the law does not accord with the societal norms of the society, particularly affected by it. The perennial debate of universalism versus relativism comes into focus because the law is viewed as the imposition of quote and unquote Western values without taking into account the cultural stroke religious sensitivities of society within which the law is to operate. It is therefore being suggested that the lawmakers should employ a cross-cultural universal approach to educating the people to accept such laws. This approach will be particularly difficult in trying to eliminate the scourge of these witch accusations because of the superstitious nature of Ghanaian society. This notwithstanding, sustained education and awareness campaign to synthesize people of the undesirability of the practice will go some way to ameliorate the consequences of the practice. There are currently 6 witches camps in the northern region of Ghana where some 1,000 innocent women and 700 children are detained and subjected to dehumanizing conditions on account of them being falsely accused of witchcraft. And the irony is that if you are a wizard, you are held in high esteem. People consult you for all kinds of things. The legal basis for the establishment of this this witches' camp is obscure, but the reality is that they exist, and means must be found to deal with its existence and the plight of the inmates. What measures can we take to safeguard the fundamental human rights of these innocent women and children? There have been overwhelming condemnation of the by government officials, human rights groups, non-governmental organizations of the spurious accusation of witchcraft against vulnerable women and children. And the general consensus is that it is a flagrant infringement of the fundamental human rights of the victims of such accusations. In a recent conference titled Towards Banning Witches in Ghana, many participants voiced their misgivings about the state of affairs of these witches. Parliament was called upon to enact an appropriate law for the disbandment of these witches' camps and to resettle the victims. Such a law should culminate in creation of any witches' camps as criminal and branding the banishment of people as witches and wizards. Intensive consultation with the communities involved in this practice must be carried out to ensure that when the law eventually reaches the law, the statute books, its efficacy will be guaranteed. In the meantime, measures should be taken by the local authorities, the district assemblies, in whose areas these witches' camps are located, to improve the social and health amenities existing in these camps. Integrating these unfortunate women back into their communities from which they have been banished may take some time because of the deep-seated belief that they still pose a danger to their communities if they return. The Center for Civic Education, which is a constitutional body entrusted with educating Ghanaians about their civil rights, is not doing enough in order to synthesize people about these very unfortunate phenomenon that has reared its ugly head in our communities. But to the credit of non-governmental organizations, community-based organizations, religious bodies, some efforts have been made so far to ameliorate the hardships that these women face. But there is still a lot to be done. And this forum, which has been given to us by this particular symposium, may help us to get help from other international bodies to try and see how far we can go to help these innocent women of their plight. I may conclude by saying that Ghana's acclaim, democracy and adherence to human rights culture, and the prevalence of traditional belief in witchcraft and its attendant consequences of treating the weak and vulnerable in society as witches remain a sore wound on the collective conscience of Ghanaians. This can only be healed if the political will is found to tackle this anomaly on the human rights landscape in Ghana. The treatment meted out to these witches, so-called witches, and the circumstances of their existence makes nonsense the perceived addiction to religion, evidenced by the myriads of faith prevailing in this country. Thank you.